It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. It was 100 years ago this month that the presidency of William Howard Taft came to an end in March of 1913. What you may not be aware of is the special relationship President Taft had with the Rodef Shalom congregation. On a multi-purpose trip to Pittsburgh in May of 1909, Taft became the first sitting U.S. president to speak from the bima of the Jewish congregation on the Sabbath. I'm joined now by Martha Berg. She's the archivist for Rodef Shalom congregation here in Pittsburgh, and she's with us here in Studio A. Martha, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you very much, Paul.
This is a fascinating story which you brought to our attention based on an article that you had seen talking about President Taft and his propensity for enjoying good, hearty, multi-course meals when he was in the White House.
Yes.
It appeared in the Post-Gazette on President's Day, and you had mentioned that there was this connection between President Taft and Pittsburgh. And how did this all come about, this visit?
Well, let me give you a little bit of background about Rodef Shalom congregation. It's the oldest Jewish congregation in western Pennsylvania. The members started meeting in the late 1840s. They formed a burial society, and then the congregation was chartered in 1856. It's had three buildings, two in downtown Pittsburgh and the current one on 5th and Morwood, the border between Oakland and Shadyside.
Is this the building that Taft visited?
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm.
And describe how this all came about.
Well, at the time, there was a very young, dynamic rabbi at Rodef Shalom named J. Leonard Levy. He had been born and educated in England, was the rabbi of an Orthodox congregation there, and then moved to California, where he became the rabbi of the Reform congregation in Sacramento in the 1880s. And then he went to Philadelphia, and he came to Pittsburgh in 1901 at age 35. And by then, he was already very famous in Reform Jewish circles. He was just incredibly inspirational and energetic, and he was involved with all of the progressive social justice causes. He was very interested in interfaith relations. And he had a special relationship with Teddy Roosevelt when he was president. They worked on peace issues together. And when Taft succeeded Roosevelt, J. Leonard Levy felt comfortable writing him a letter saying, I hear you're coming to Pittsburgh to talk to the Yale Western Alumni Association. Would you come and talk to us too? He went down to Washington the week before to discuss the details, and President Taft said, sure, I'll come.
It apparently was not only a very important occasion that President Taft was visiting Rodef Shalom congregation, but in general, just the fact that he was in Pittsburgh at this particular point in his presidency.
Yes, it was his first visit to Pittsburgh as president, and I did a lot of newspaper research and found a lot of details about exactly what he did that day. And everywhere he went, there were thousands of people waving flags, and all the newspaper articles talked about the good security that took place all through the day, cooperation between the Secret Service and the police in Pittsburgh. So he started his day at the East Liberty train station and then went to the home of Thomas Laughlin on Woodland Road. It's now a part of Chatham University campus. Laughlin was Taft's brother-in-law. Their wives were sisters. Then he went to Rodef Shalom about 9:30 in the morning, and the dignitaries of the temple board, Abraham Lippman and Judge Josiah Cohen, ushered him in. Rabbi Levy delivered a prayer. And may I read you a little bit about what Taft said?
Yes, I would like to hear it, and I'm sure our audience would. And this was what he said from the bima.
Yes.
And for people who don't know what that is exactly, explain what the bima is.
That would correspond to the pulpit in a Christian church.
So there he is standing at the bima or pulpit, and he says this.
He starts out, "My friends, I do not claim to conform very strictly to religious observances, but it has remained for the city of Pittsburgh to bring me to church both on Saturday and on Sunday." Then he went on to talk about J. Leonard Levy's close friendship with Teddy Roosevelt and praising the congregation with these words, "I esteem it a great privilege to appear before this intelligent and patriotic audience at the insistence of your leader." And he was only in the temple building about 10 minutes altogether. and then went on to his next engagement, which was to dedicate a fountain at Arsenal Park. And there he spoke about hoping that someday all of the military arsenals would be turned into parks for children.
And you said that he also threw out the first pitch at a baseball game?
Well, that was an informal baseball game that was part of the Yale alumni organization. It was on the grounds of Allegheny Country Club in Sewickley Heights. But a little bit of a detour, unplanned, was that his brother, Charles Taft, was a part owner of the Chicago Cubs at the time. He was also in on this visit. And they decided they wanted to see the Cubs-Pirates game that afternoon. So they made a little bit of a change in the schedule. And Barney Dreyfus, who is the owner of the Pirates and also a member of Road of Shalom, offered his personal box, which was all decorated for the occasion. But Taft said, no, I want to sit in the stands with the fans. So he did, and there's a newspaper picture of him doing that. Honus Wagner hit a double, and Taft clapped for that, even though that was, you know, his brother's opponent's team. And the Cubs did win 8-3 that day.
So everybody was happy.
Everybody was happy.
Especially if President Taft was able to get a hot dog, which may have been why he wanted to sit
probably,
in the stands.
Probably. But he had a lot to eat on this visit because he had a special lunch. He had more food at the Allegheny Country Club. He had a dinner later that night with the Yale clubs. So he was well satisfied by his visit.
He was known for his prodigious appetite. It's amazing what this man could eat, and he liked a lot of different things. Apparently, he would not have a meal where there weren't at least two meat dishes being served. Are you aware of what specifically was on the menu for him?
No, I'm not. But I noticed that the newspaper articles frequently recurred to him as a, quote, splendid big man, end quote, or our large president. It's very interesting that that was in the common press at that time.
Well, he was the first 300. He got up to 350 by the time he was done sitting in the White House. But he was the first over 300-pound president, from what I hear. The baseball connection is interesting because another bit of trivia about Taft is that apparently he was the first president to throw out the first pitch, that he started that tradition?
Yes. And he didn't do that at the game he went to in Pittsburgh. And that game was at Exposition Park, which is on the north side, and was just a couple of months before Forbes Field opened. In fact, I think Charles Taft, his brother, and Barney Dreyfus had, on that same occasion, gone to look at the progress of Forbes Field, which was opening soon.
In fact, opened later that season in 1909.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, President Taft visited a lot of different places in Pittsburgh in a very short amount of time, it sounds like. Was it somewhat of a breakthrough or groundbreaking that he would appear at a church and a Jewish congregation in Pittsburgh and speak at both?
Well, since the president had not spoken before in a Jewish congregation, it was groundbreaking in that sense. And he was a Unitarian, and the church service he attended the following day, the Sunday, was at the First Unitarian Church, which is very close to Road of Shalom. It's on Moorwood and Ellsworth.
This seems to be something that you would be hard-pressed maybe even to see a president today do, to get around to all these different places in such a short span of time.
Well, and travel was, of course, more difficult then, but we had better train service then. He came in on a private car, arrived in East Liberty. There is no railroad station left in East Liberty. It's very difficult to get from Washington to Pittsburgh by train now, but it was much easier then. And then, of course, he had the special motorcades for the whole day. And his whole itinerary, exactly what streets he would be on, was published in the paper the day before. And all of that route was lined with people.
And did he ever come back to Pittsburgh?
I don't know that. I think he did. Because his brother-in-law, his wife's sister's family lived here, he did visit. I know that he visited the students at Chatham at least once, and maybe he came for another baseball game. I don't know.
And in terms of the historical significance of his visit to Pittsburgh in 1909, what are some of the remnants and souvenirs that are left that might be hanging somewhere in Road F. Shalom to this day?
Well, we do have a large framed three-part display in one of the main halls that has his portrait and an architect's drawing of the building and the text of his speech, three parts, right, displayed pretty prominently. And we have board minutes that record all of the committee work to set it up and who said what and who did what. We have a copy of Rabbi Levy's thank you note to President Taft and a typed version of Taft's thank you note and a few other things in the archives of the congregation that talk about it. Mainly how I found out about the details was through newspaper research.
And there are recordings, not of this particular event, but of Taft speaking, which
right.
would have been in the early days of audio recordings. Let's listen to a little excerpt from one of Taft's speeches, just to get a feel for how the man spoke and what it would have sounded like from the bima of the Rodef Shalom congregation in 1909.
It is the common people of the world that are interested in this business. They know when we have war, it is they that have to bear the burden. It's their sisters and mothers and daughters that have to wait, trembling, to hear the news from the battlefield to learn whether their dear ones have bitten the dust. It's the great mass of the plain people that Lincoln loved so well that have to stand the brunt of war. They do not have the glory of coming home with the gold lace and the feathers and all that falls to the leader. They are not elected presidents because they happen to be successful. They know the demoralization that follows in the wake of war. We should lead the way, and all doubts as to our constitutional authority should be resolved in favor of our stepping forward as a nation with the power, the wealth, the fortune, and the opportunity that God has given us to help along the movement of Christian progress toward permanent peace.
And that is President William Howard Taft speaking in 1909. And Martha, you've had a chance to listen to these recordings even before we play them just now. What are your thoughts about the way that the man spoke and his manner of presenting himself to people?
Well, the language, of course, is a little bit different than what a president would use today, but I think it's wonderful that we still have these audio tapes that we can listen to the voice of a person speaking more than 100 years ago. It's just great.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Heimer, and we're talking with Martha Berg. She's archivist for Rodef Shalom congregation here in Pittsburgh, talking about the 1909 visit to Pittsburgh by President Taft, who became the first U.S. president to speak from the bima of a Jewish congregation on the Sabbath. That was back in May of 1909. Martha, I'm curious as to what the relationship was between President Taft, the Taft administration, and the Jewish community in the United States.
I do know that while Taft was in office, his relationship with the Jewish community was a little bit, he sort of got mixed reviews. Some people felt that he was a great friend of the Jews, and he was, I learned, the first president to invite a Jew to lunch at the White House, and that was Julius Rosenwald, who was the head of Sears and Roebuck Company. And Taft also appointed a Jew to the post of ambassador, U.S. ambassador in Istanbul. But that was considered possibly a kind of a token movement because President Roosevelt had appointed the same person to that same post before. And there were some times when Taft spoke up for the Jews. For example, when there was a move to institute a literacy test for new immigrants, and that was felt to be discriminatory toward people who did not speak English as their native language, and he spoke out against that. But when the Russian government refused to honor the U.S. passports of Jewish U.S. citizens, he did not speak up about that until the Congress forced him to abrogate a treaty with Russia that had been in place since 1832. So he had kind of mixed reviews from the Jewish community.
Martha Berg is archivist at Rodef Shalom Congregation in Pittsburgh, and she's been talking with us about the historic 1909 visit of President Taft to the Rodef Shalom Congregation right here in Pittsburgh. Martha, thank you so much for bringing this story to our attention. It's been a pleasure visiting with you.
Thank you very much.
Up next, Pop City tech and innovation reporter Deb Smith talks about big data when Essential Pittsburgh continues on 90.5 WESA.